Before we read from the Word, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this afternoon hour that we can come together round about Thy Word to worship Thee, to praise and glorify Thy name, to learn more of Thee and who Thou art and how Thou would have Thy children to redeem the time while we are here below. We pray that Thou would build us up as we have been edified and blessed in this morning hour. We pray that Thy Holy Spirit would be present among us again, that Thou would speak to our hearts, and that we would believe that the word that has been preserved for us, which we are grateful for, is Thy message to us, and that Thou art speaking to us through the Scripture. And we pray that we would have the heart and willingness to apply the word, to be doers of the word, and not forgetful hearers, with Thy help, O Lord. We believe that this is the path to greatest blessing and fulfillment in life, and we pray that Thou would speak to us as we would commit this hour in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Passages of Scripture that had opened to me this morning, I desire to read this afternoon from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. We'll read the first 18 verses. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. As you read the account again that we are so familiar with, of Jesus, his trial, and his crucifixion, remember one thing, that everything here is for you. There is a cross in the middle, and it was for me, and it was for you. And as we think about what happened at this moment in history, remember that it was for you. And it should have been us. And everything that's recorded here is given to build up, once we come to that foot of the cross and believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everything that he went through is given for us to build up our faith and to help us to find our way to eternity. Pilate takes Jesus and has him beaten. The soldiers mocked him, put a crown of thorns on his head, put a purple robe around him like a king should have, and they mocked him and sent him out to the crowd. They beat on him with their hands. Jesus was rejected by his own countrymen, by his friends. He was denied, misunderstood, rejected by strangers, the Romans. The crowds were all together ready to do away with him when they were given the word. What agony, what pain and sorrow, what an hour of darkness that came over this world when man was given space to do with God what the wickedness in the heart and nature of man often does, day by day. He's in a dark valley, the darkest valley that a man has ever experienced. And he's there with willingness and quietness. This is for you. This is for your valley. This is for your hour of darkness and hour of temptation. The struggle, the pain, the greatest fear that you can imagine, the greatest burden that is on your heart even this afternoon. Will you find the strength? Will you find everything that you need in Jesus Christ right here? Seek. Ask. Knock. Do you want to face that greatest fear? Is there something that you are uncertain about, that you need help with, that you need guidance, that you need comfort to know whose hands you are in? Look to Jesus and what he has done here. You are not alone in going through a darkest valley. Jesus faced far rougher, far harder than mine. A road and a valley that we could scarcely imagine. Everywhere he went about doing good and serving and helping others. And in return, he gets spit in the face and mocked and rejected. Have you ever tried to help someone and then you learn that they spoke something bad about you? And all you wanted to do was help them and bless them and build them up. And then you find out what really happened behind the scenes. Doesn't it make your heart and your stomach turn? It hurts. He's familiar with walking that mile of pain and agony and difficulty. And yet he commits himself to the will of his Father and the plan that he had been sent to this earth to fulfill. This is a moment of evil and darkness and sinfulness of the heart of man. But it's a moment that we know that Jesus Christ comes forth victoriously through and out of in his willing submission to his Father's will, in shedding his precious blood that is effective for the forgiveness of our sins, and rising again the third day, victorious over sin, victorious over the grave that could never have held him. And we, as believers, are taught to live in him. We are taught to daily take up our cross and follow him. And on sunny days, when things are going well, and we can say, thank the Lord, I've got a lot of blessings. We can easily say, Jesus is King. And we often do. And it's good, and we should. And we should not stop, we should do more. But the test and the trial, the proving of our faith that comes in each and every one of our lives as we go through this temporary time, it's the hard times. It's the dark trials. It's the painful experiences. It's the rejection from people. It's the times of being alone. When people speak the most evil words, what is the valley? Is it what people do to you? Sometimes the valley is our own decisions. And sometimes we face the consequences and we wonder why. And Satan has a lot of excuses to peddle to you and to me as to why it's maybe not so much our fault or why we can maybe excuse ourselves. But in that moment, in that part of the dark valley, when we say, I was wrong, but I will still look to Jesus. And if he is my King, I will turn from those things, repent, confess, make those things right, and still call him our King and say, we want to return. Say that we can't handle this on ourselves. We don't know exactly how things will work out. We don't know every single step along the way. So I need to put my faith and my trust into something. If we release that from holding on, having that control and that certainty of, I know exactly how it's going to work out, and it's going to be smooth sailing for me. And rather, say, Lord, I don't understand. And if there's something I need to confess and repent of, I'm willing to do whatever my Spirit would prompt me to do. but I want to call you king. And I want to live in that way as a subject and a citizen in the Lord's kingdom. I believe the Lord would bless that prayer, that desire of a heart, and say, whatever it takes. Jesus was willing to do everything and whatever it took. And this was for us. The Jews tried to sway Pilate as he woke up on this morning that he did not realize would be a hurricane of decision and persuasion. But everything had been settled. But he had a responsibility and a choice too. The Jews sought to persuade him and nudge him towards their ideas of right and wrong and their sensitivities. Oh, we have a law, and according to this law, this man should die. Pilate, what do you think about that? Well, what did he do? Claimed he's the Son of God. To a Roman, probably didn't matter too much. They've got their gods. They've got Jupiter and all the different gods. And God and man, they had their myths about all kinds of experiences. Sure, add one to the pile. No big deal. Okay, that didn't work. Let's try another thing. How about Caesar and the power of the Roman government that had put Pilate in that position of authority? Then he became nervous. See, temptations, they come. And sometimes we feel like we may have overcome one, or one doesn't bother us so much. But we got to be careful. Like we heard this morning, take heed lest we fall. Thank God for the successes and the victories that we receive. But don't let that give us a place of complacency or an idea that we've got the strength to handle things on our own, because Satan will sow seeds. Have you ever taken grass seed? You take a handful and you throw it out. And some falls. And then there's more after that. There's an abundance of temptations that Satan can bring. And if one doesn't work, he's more than happy to bring something that will touch those sensitive spots of you and me. And maybe they're all different for us. But he doesn't slow down either, the enemy of our souls. So we need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, with his faithfulness, with his endurance, with his willingness. Jesus told Pilate very little. But one thing that he told him, we need to hear. Because it's for me, it's for you. Pilate asked Jesus, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Don't you know who I am?" I don't know what the age difference was between Pilate and Jesus, or if there even was one. Sometimes our peers can lay on the pressure very strongly. That you need to do this or you need to do that. Don't you understand all the leverage that I have to make you move? Jesus said, no. Not true. What are the lies that friends and peers tell us in the world? Can we say with Jesus, no, it doesn't have the power. I don't serve Satan as my master anymore. I don't need to enjoy the types of entertainment that are so commonplace in the world. I just don't need that. What I need is Jesus Christ and to keep my mind and my heart fixed upon him. And I need to know whose I am and rejoice in his care for me as a sheep does towards his shepherd. Jesus tells Pilate, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Those that delivered Jesus for crucifixion had a responsibility for the part that they played. They can never tell the Lord, "Well, if it wasn't for us, Jesus wouldn't have been crucified. And then if Jesus wasn't crucified, the world wouldn't have a way of salvation." Not so. God used their wickedness of their hearts when they were trying to spoil the plan of God, to make the plan of God come to pass. And oh, how it seems sometimes that the world and the trends of the times that we're living in seem like waves that constantly beat against us and our house. And how difficult and challenging it can be. Where do we look? And who do we have confidence in that knows it all and that keeps us in his loving care? Jesus knew that his Father cared for him. And he knew that Pilate couldn't do anything. The crowds could not do anything except it was given to them from above. There's something encouraging, there's somewhat of a blessing that we can consider as we meditate on the reality that Jesus' crucifixion and the provision that God has made for salvation for our souls is part of God's plan. And God has a plan for this world, and he has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And God's plan will not be thwarted by men and their threatenings and their dismissal of what the Word of God says. It will come to pass. There's no power that can stand against and resist the truth of God. And so how much more, as we see the day approaching, we encourage one another, we read the Word, and we consider, how does this mean? What does this mean for me? And how can I use this scripture to be prepared for the Lord's return? And when he would call me home, whatever would come first. There's no power that could thwart the plan of God. Pilate could do nothing. And it brings to mind what Jesus told his disciples. He told them a very similar thing. He told them, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And without me, ye can do nothing." He says to Pilate, the Roman governor, the one who's in the world, "You can't do anything against the plan of God." And he tells his disciples, "You want to be a part of the kingdom of God? You also can't do anything without me." It's amazing. We make plans, and we'd like to project what will happen in the future or how we can live. They could all go away so quickly, we don't even realize. Well, sometimes some of us are experiencing the reality of how quickly the opportunities fall through our fingers with our families, when health fails, you name it. What will you do? And what can you do? You can take a breath in. And you can hold it. And in that breath, you have everything that you need to survive for a few seconds. Beyond that, you need the mercy of God to take another breath and keep going. We think we can make plans. We think we can project. But we see here that there's nothing that works without the hand of God. And so far beyond what my words can say and your words can affect, as we seek to encourage or bless one another or warn or admonish one another, as we're instructed in the scripture, perhaps we're not getting the results that we expected. We're not seeing the fruits. Well, is God in it? Are we speaking more to men, or are we speaking with God about the challenges that we face, the greatest fears that we have, that we would come and bring to bear the strength and the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ through that? Do we spend more time talking to each other, or do we spend time on our knees and asking, well, I don't know what the best plan of action for this is. Maybe I should ask God and seek his wisdom. And then when I spend time with him and I spend time in his word, hearing what he has to say, then I should do that. And I should abide in simple obedience and a life of faith. I wonder, what would God do with hearts like that? He will take hearts like that, and he will make them a beautiful bride that is adorned and loves purity and appreciates the Word of God and the holiness that the Lord has called us to. That is what he will do. And he will present that bride beautiful in his sight. Though maybe despised by the world, and maybe the world thinks that they're backwards and doesn't understand. But God is making something beautiful for himself. And we can be a part of that through faith and following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in obedience. By following Jesus Christ, by calling him King in the good times and also in these harder times that we experience, the challenges, and even in the shadow of a failure, find a place of repentance and say, not my way of getting out of the consequences of my deeds, so that nobody finds out, or that I'm not embarrassed in front of my friends. But before God, I'm going to have to answer one day. I'm going to answer today. I'm not going to delay an answer from my heart to my Lord. And I think about that. Pilate asked Jesus a question, "Whence art thou?" And Jesus didn't say a word. There is something in the silence that we often miss, that we're often too much in a rush to listen for. And that's simple knock on our hearts. Pilate knew everything that he needed to know. Now he just needed to listen. We know a lot about the scripture. But we need God to direct us, to guide us, to help us use it, to accomplish his purpose of worshiping him, of edifying one another, and sharing the gospel with the lost world. God, bring us to our knees to see that we have no power at all, but we have a warfare to fight. We have armor to put on and exercise it, watching and praying. We have a lot of questions in our minds about tomorrow and what will happen. But we bring it to God in prayer. We entrust ourselves unto Him and allow Him to lead us and thank Him for what He's done. May God bless His word.
The song sounds beautiful up here. I wish we all had an opportunity to stand in the front and hear the singing as it all comes and projects in one direction. It sounds beautiful. Glory be to God for what He has done. Truly we can sing hallelujah, forsaken grave. To hear that in great number together, all your voices singing that sounds beautiful. The message was strong this afternoon, and I appreciated what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. What Jesus Christ suffered, what He endured to the depths and to the intensity that he endured for each and every one of us. So that as we experience life's disappointments, life's struggles, life's trials, in what we think is very strong, that we could know that Jesus suffered more. He did it all for us. As we were, as the beginning of the message went forth, and this is what Jesus Christ did for us. This is what He did for us. And so we are bound together with the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, just as Jesus suffered, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself." And so Jesus says to His disciples, and He says to us, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." In this life, we will experience that. Jesus did. We'll seem as lambs, helpless little creatures among a ferocious, dominant animal. Animals, a wolf pack. Jesus is saying, "I send you forth as lambs among wolves." We'll have to endure some things in life, perhaps. But Jesus suffered more and has done more for us than what we can imagine. May we give Him glory, and may we give Him honor and laud His name. Amen.